Hello, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations, and I'd like to welcome you to a program where we're trying to renew relationships and truth in a lost and lonely world. Folks, on this program, we suggest it's the social context that drives the political and the cultural. So why try to change the political when the social context is all messed up? That's why Karl Marx in his Communist Manifesto said, abolish home education and abolish the family. He knew you'd have to abolish the family if the socialist context would prevail in the political sphere. The only way for socialism to prevail was to unravel the family unit and to do it by the educational and economic situation. You know, folks, for 6,000 years, you had children who were, for the most part, raised by parents. There were no compulsory attendance laws, with a few minor exceptions until the 1830s and 1840s. For 6,000 years, boys worked side by side with their fathers in the fields. They were raised by their fathers. Elmanzo plowed his fields next to his father in Farmer Boy, the Little House on the Prairie series, until the Industrial Revolution showed up and Dad left the family farm for the cities. And then eventually Mom left the family farm. And then you had such a division of labor that the teaching class developed and they began raising children, sort of. And then you had non-interactive forms of entertainment. For 6,000 years, families hung out together every evening from 6 p.m. till 10 p.m. in their living rooms under candlelight sharing stories. That happened for almost 6,000 years of world history until the Industrial Revolution and then the rest. And folks, we're trying to reestablish the covenantal unit designed by God. It's called the family. I realize that the family is, for the most part, come apart in the last 100 years or so. But we're trying to redesign the family according to God's original design. And the pattern of the book of Proverbs is the father teaching his son as he sits in his house, as he walks by the way, as he rises up, as he lies down. This is what they did. This is what people did. I realize in a fragmented age where you've got children off on their own, families off on their own, the church fragments families, the economy fragments families, the educational system fragments families. I realize that things have changed dramatically, but we're just saying, hey, it's cool to hang out together and to be together as families. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 21, you find James and John fixing the next with Zebedee, their father. In 1 Samuel 17, David went and returned to Saul to feed his father's sheep in Bethlehem. In 2 Kings chapter 4, the child is out there working with his father and the reapers in the fields. This kind of thing happened for a long time. Then come along the 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, we saw a steady increase in the institutionalization of education and the nurture of children. And the present economic and educational systems have, I think, done immeasurable harm in disintegrating the family. This is a significant contributor to the 50% divorce rate, the 40% illegitimacy rate, the shack-up rate through the ceiling, kids not getting married until they're 30, 35, 40 years of age, and the nuclear family now making up less than half of American families. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in the nuclear family only making up half of American households. Well, folks, at the heart of it, there's been a severance of the hearts of fathers from the sons. The relationships are busted, okay? The relationships are, but it's not just the kids born without fathers. It's just about every single family out there. The hearts of fathers are way, way, way far from the hearts of the sons. And the sons are way far from the hearts of the fathers. And ministries everywhere are out there trying to address the issues of the broken family. But here's a ministry I think is going to make some progress. It's called Bringing Dads Home. And Bob Farewell is going to be with us in a moment to talk about how to bring a dad home. Be back in just a moment. Stay with us. This is Generations.
Generations of Knowing Him is the theme for the Christian Family Conference coming to the Denver Merchandise Mart June 18 to 20, featuring 70 workshops, an exhibit hall with curriculum from over 200 vendors, and speakers including Bill Jack, Kevin Swanson, and Little Bear Wheeler. Come to the 25th Annual Christian Family Conference at the Denver Merchandise Mart June 18 to 20, presented by Christian Home Educators of Colorado. Register online at check.org, that's check.org.
Welcome back to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. With me is Bob Farewell from Bringing Dads home. And the Farewells have been traveling around homeschool conferences since 1989. They were part of Lifetime Books and Gifts. But most importantly, Bob is the father of five, and they've been homeschooling their own children since, well, roughly 1983 when the first one appeared. Welcome to Generations, Bob.
Thank you, Kevin. Pleasure to be with you.
Bob, talk to us about your story, because I know you came home, and this was important. This is an important part of the homeschool vision for your family. Talk to us about what happened in the Farewell family.
Well, as in most of life, things kind of come at you blindsided in a way. We did have the presence of mind early on when we first married to set some life goals. Now, we wrote them down. We were challenged. And one of those life goals was that should we be blessed with children, we would love to have a business where we could travel and have them with us.
Mm.
And we wrote it down and thought nothing about it for about another 9 years and suddenly found ourselves in a business traveling 6 months of the year with then two small children. And we started homeschooling them and started selling books to families who homeschooled their children at conventions all over the country. And that adventure took us through five children and through nearly 20 years of business doing that. It proved to be a blessing, but I think in order for clarity, I think it's important that families set aside some time. If they haven't done it yet, they need to do one-on-one husband and wife and talk about some life goals and write them down.
I.e., what do you want out of life? Where do we want to be? And if it's not, if you don't get a vision, chances are somebody else's vision is going to drive you, and it may drive you into places you didn't want to go.
Interestingly enough, too, once you've set some goals down, I mean, the windows of opportunity open up that otherwise you would have ignored the day before.
Yeah.
And if you hadn't written them down, I mean, you just missed those opportunities.
Yeah.
It was fun that one of my employees discovered these goals that we had written down 1 year while we were traveling, and she said, I found a book that you have misplaced. It's covered in dust. And I said, what's the book? And she said, well, it was your life goals. You want to hear what you wrote so many years ago? And I said, yeah. And so, lo and behold, we were achieving so many of the goals that we had written down. And unbeknownst to us, those opportunities became available. I believe God's got a plan for each and every family. And in concert, if you establish those goals and you go before the throne of God and you ask him, say, is this what you would like for us to do as a family? Let those opportunities present themselves, and they do. And if they don't present themselves, then that's not what he wants you to be doing.
Now, your vision was a radical shift from the average family experience in America. No question about that. Well, what was that shift?
Well, originally I was involved in businesses here locally. I've been in sales for most of my life, but at the junction of where our homeschooling business and ministry took off, I was one of the first, if not the first, cellular telephone company in my county.
Okay.
And that's before we had cellular towers, and right. I knew it was going to be big. I didn't realize how big. And my wife brought the idea of creating a home-based business and selling books to families who homeschooled their children. And I thought it was a lot like watching paint dry. But then she went and said, no, honey, you need to see what kind of excitement people have with these books. And going to a couple of conventions with her convinced me. And we turned her hobby into a business.
Yeah. And the rest is history. You traveled with your children.
Yeah.
They were integrated into your life probably more than just about any other family in America at the time. They did a lot of the work. You talk about a lifestyle of learning.
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, we set some goals for our children, too, with this homeschooling idea. We had three principal goals that we had for them. One was for them, at the end of their schooling experience, we wanted them to love God, and we wanted them to love each other. And thirdly, we wanted them to love learning. And we examined the models that were available to us, and with the lifestyle we were living, meaning on the road for 6 months, at a time, we realized that a classroom-type approach would not work for us. And so we started exploring the idea that good literature and real-life experiences for us and our children would probably create some of the best curriculum opportunities in the world. And that was theory back when we first started. It's now it's fact. We have the fruit of that experience with three of our five children are now out of the homeschooling arena.
Well, you know, Louis L'Amour ducked out of school at 11 years of age, traveled the world, and became the greatest novelist that the world has ever known, sold more novels than anybody else, according to the Guinness Book of World Records. So, in fact, I heard one time a radio talk show host say, you know, the average person spending $100,000 on some Ivy League education probably better spent just spending it traveling the world and gaining all those experiences instead of wasting it on, you know, an Ivy League education. I don't know if that's hyperbole or not, but there is so much gained in real life experience.
Exactly. You never know what you're going to encounter around the next bend or over the next hill.
Yeah.
And that's the joy and challenge of travel.
Mm-hmm.
We found also that by having a business that provided us the funds to be able to travel, gave our children an opportunity to gain some financial intelligence that we never gained when we were in school. The most fun was to watch when each of our children got to the age of 7, they received one of our company's aprons, and they proudly wore that in the convention hall. Unbeknownst to any of the convention attendees, it was their responsibility to carry all of the $10, $20, $50, and $100 bills in their front pouch. And they realized that they were an integral part of our family's business. If they became childish, or if they became non-responsive to the responsibility, we as a family wouldn't eat if they lost that money. That was their first sojourn into the business world at the age of 7. By the age of 8, they were then in front of the cash register, where they were running books through the cash register.
And I can remember checking out.
Yes.
With your children over years and years in the Denver Conference, they at 8, 9, 10 years of age,
yes,
they were responsible for running that booth.
That's correct. And it became really, it was a joy, because there had been a few challenges, too, particularly for some families that found it on their credit card statement the next month that instead of $50, it was $5,000 charged. But
yeah,
we were able to work out those.
Yeah.
Small bucks.
Yeah, exactly. It's something I tell my son all the time. He's just made a couple of mistakes with his eBay businesses and tanked $600 or $700 at a time. And you know, I just told my son, I said, these are some of the cheapest lessons you'll ever learn if you'll learn them.
That's right.
If you learn them, otherwise they'll become the most expensive lessons.
Well, that was the joy of a family enterprise, is to be able to share the victories and the defeats. And we all learn from those kind of mistakes.
Yes.
Great.
Yes. Well, your ministry is bringing dads home, and I want to get back to that theme because I think homeschooling brought a lot of moms home from the family disintegrating social economy out there, and it is a family disintegrating economy.
Yeah.
Okay, the education programs, the economic systems, the political systems are all geared to disintegrate the family.
Correct.
So mom came home, but now I think there's a lot of dads who want to come home too.
Well, and that was the business that we created after selling Lifetime Books and Gifts has been called Bringing Dads Home, and it grew out of essentially the last 5 years of our touring with Lifetime. We spent a tremendous amount of time face-to-face with dads that would come up to me and say, I want to do what you do.
Yeah.
I want to do more of what you do. And I said, well, I don't need the competition. What do you mean? And they said, no, we see that you're with your family, and by God's grace, I've had the privilege of being with this family 24/7 for the last 26 years.
Yeah.
And I started counseling them and pointing them into some business models that would fit their skill sets, and found that this was an ever-increasing chorus of response from dads that said, how can I do it? I've got golden handcuffs in the corporate world. How do I break free from this? And through this one-on-one kind of consultation, we realized that maybe God is directing us to another season of life where we can now kind of coach and mentor, if you will, some families that have that in their heart to do. And interestingly enough, this process has been birthing for some years now. And as of September, as we all know, the economy has changed dramatically. And instead of just homeschool dads, I have a whole new wave of dads of my age group that are rapidly approaching retirement age. And they're saying, hey, I've worked 35 years for a 401k. It's now a 201K.
Yeah.
What do I do to rebuild my retirement account? What can I do besides what I've been doing, and I'm forced to retire in 2 to 3 years?
Hmm.
So I have a whole new venue of men that are saying, I want to come home too, to either a home-based business or to a business model that utilizes my skill sets to build up the body of Christ.
Well, let's talk about how to do that, Bob. I mean, it's hard for some people to leave their corporate job overnight. They're making the $58K a year. And chances are in your family business, you're going to make somewhere between $0 and $2 the first week. You know, I mean, everybody knows that, right? The entrepreneurial endeavor is a ramp function, and it takes time to build this thing up. So how do they do it?
Yeah. My first words of caution and counsel is do not quit your daytime job.
Right, right, right.
Build a foundation first where you can see the proverbial light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not a train coming in your direction.
Mm-hmm.
You want to build slowly.
Yeah.
Whether it's a business model or a business out of the box, or you become a franchise for another company or something, you do things in a slow process with the goal of sometime being able to walk away from what it is you're now doing. One of the things that typically blindsides families is they think, all right, we have this goal to bring Dad home. And what happens is that should he come home and he has walked away from this semi-secure form of income, his present job, he brings to that, without that job, tremendous tension to the household.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where are we going to get our next paycheck? How are we going to buy groceries? And then when it becomes a money issue, we find that relationships, husband and wife, start to deteriorate.
And I've also noticed just reintegrating relationships that have not been integrated for the previous four generations can be a stressful experience, not just for mom, but for dad as well. I noticed that when I came home 10 years ago, and from the corporate world, I was sort of a high-flying corporate manager for a while, and came back home and started doing more ministry work, more entrepreneurial endeavors, and I just noticed a little bit more tension. I moved the office downstairs. I think that helped a little.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Just there were certain things that helped, but just to be that close to each other when you have not been that close to each other for a full 120 years of world history can be a transition. Was that transition for you folks as well as you traveled around in a motorhome across America?
Try to imagine putting 5 children in a metal box,
yeah,
that's 8 foot wide, 40 feet long, and you're traveling at 70 miles an hour for 6 months.
Right.
It tends to give you a twitch or two.
There
is always that challenge, but there are pluses, though,
right.
And I love pointing out more of the positive side of this,
yeah,
not to overlook the negative, but pointing out the positive. There's nothing quite like having hot chocolate with your children at 10 o'clock in the morning,
yeah,
lunch in the afternoon, an opportunity to be one-on-one with your spouse and not have, you know, be looking at a time clock. That kind of mental freedom typically leads to a lot of creativity.
Yeah.
There's just an enormous potential that is typically thwarted when you're having to put in a 9-to-5 for someone else.
And the work you spend in rebuilding relationships, learning how to live with each other is extremely valuable. And, of course, the discipleship of your children is all part of that as well. Of course, there has to be the confession of sin and the loving confrontations and things that happen in those relationships. But isn't this the Christian life? Isn't this what God had configured for us as we live in community?
Well, one of the things we typically do not take into account is that by virtue of working for someone else on a 9-to-5, that's pretty much a fixed time frame. When you start working for yourself and for your family and your own family enterprise business, I like to say that you can typically choose whatever 18-hour shift you want to work. And that's more truth than fiction. There's a tremendous amount of labor that goes into an early startup. And it's wonderful to have the family involved, but oftentimes dad has to put in those hours.
Yeah.
And they said, I thought I was bringing you home. I thought you were going to be at home when you are at home. And typically that's not the case early on in any business development.
And yet there is the opportunity to integrate everybody into that. And I remember at one point I looked around and said, wow, I've got, you know, 6 employees here. haven't really been incorporated into what I'm doing. And I think that's something a dad can think about as well. Even as he's working his day job, he's got six employees at home that can be running these other ventures. And yet, I think it's hard for some of us to find ways to delegate to a seven-year-old, an eight-year-old, or a nine-year-old. How did you find tasks? How did you delegate? How did you train the young children?
Everything from how to, you know, opening boxes and taking inventory. From the earliest of ages, they could just... That became real easy. And then it became, you know, instead of handwriting price tags when we first started, we moved into the machine-generated price tags. They could put those on the books. Now, they may not have been in the exact spot we asked them to do more than three or four times in a row, but it was a learning process, always aiming towards excellence. It's an everyday process that you can incorporate them in. And with a child, it has to be fun. There has to be this element of enjoyment. If it becomes of an issue of I'm having to put in my time, and you see this glazed look over their eye, they're no longer loving learning, and that was our goal. So we would stop, and we would sit and read some of the books they were unpacking, and they would get the sense of joy of what we were sharing with other families.
Yeah, and I think as you talk about dads coming home, we're not talking about dads just sitting around in his bedroom all day long. We're talking about a business that allows some level of freedom and integration of his family into the business, but he may be out there doing the work. He may be meeting customers, but he can always incorporate his family into that. He can bring his son along with him.
Well, in fact, he is one of my best friends, and I'm sure you know him, David Quine of Cornerstone Curriculum.
Right, David.
I think he's a father of nine children.
Mm-hmm.
And he impressed me one day when he said he goes nowhere, absolutely nowhere, without taking one of his children with him.
Yeah.
And that's been a great asset for me and my children. My children get to see me interact in a business environment. They understand the language. They understand the dynamics. And as a result, I'm training future entrepreneurs.
Mm.
And I can do that just by taking them to Home Depot.
Mm. Are your children interested in entrepreneurial endeavors themselves?
It tends to rub off on them.
Yeah.
I'm very much aware of each of their bents. That's one thing that has been drilled into me through attending numerous conferences. You identify your children's bent, and you teach to their strength. Entrepreneurship typically happens in families that have an entrepreneurial spirit from the get-go.
Yeah.
And it's my job to nurture them.
We must have something like that in our family. I think we're going 16, 18 hours every day. Things are humming. My daughter has her little baking business she got started up a few days ago. We probably got seven or eight businesses going at any one point in time. But I guess that's just what happens. You get excited about all these creative ideas, and pretty soon everybody's got something going, and everybody is busy making money in some way, shape, or form.
That's the key. It's about being busy. It's about building a family enterprise. It's about everyone being a contributor and not a consumer. It changes the dynamics of what we've been typically raised to believe family life was to be like. And I for one, have found great favor with it. And I think there's a real outflow, or if you will, a sub-movement within home educators to be doing that type of thing as a family.
You know, and Bob, I think we've got more contentment, more joy, more excitement about life in our family today than we did 10 years ago.
Yes.
It just there's something different about our home. It's just more upbeat. Do you find that about your own home?
No doubt. Yes, I sure do.
Yeah.
One of the neat things I've found, too, that has been really important for my children's love of learning is that I discovered the power of mentorship.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, through some of reading Louis L'Amour's books and in several other books that are out there, like Little Britches and some
yes,
other series,
right. Mm-hmm.
That emphasize family enterprise and entrepreneurship, but also emphasizes the need to find good mentors. I wish I had had a mentor when we first approached this as a business. I didn't have that business background. Had I met someone who had, I would have not landed on some of the landmines that tended to derail us in the early days. My children have seen the value of finding mentors. In fact, my 23-year-old son now has three mentors in his life.
Mm-hmm.
I've been blessed with just two,
yeah.
But I only received mine in the last 10 years, and I wished that I had found the value of that mentorship as far as creating value in a family business.
Bob, I think mentorship is absolutely key. We started an AME program, Apprenticeship Mentorship Entrepreneurship Program.com, where we're matching prospective apprentices to mentors online, AMEprogram.com. We started that up a few months ago, and it's growing like crazy. But I want to recommend yourself as a mentor as well, and if people are interested in just some input from a man who's been over this trail for a long time, they should get in contact with you at BobAndTinaFarewell.com on the web. Again, that's BobAndTinaFarewell.com. Bob, we're clean out of time, but boy, I appreciate your testimony, the excitement of some of the vision that you're presenting today, and I hope a few other people have caught the vision. Thanks so much for joining us on Generations, Bob.
Yeah, Kevin, thanks again. Blessings to you and yours.
All right, folks, tremendous ideas on this edition of Generations. I hope that you've picked up some good wisdom from Bob Farewell. Again, a couple of websites you need to be aware of, BobAndTinaFarewell.com and the mentorship website that we maintain as part of Christian Home Educators of Colorado. It's called AMEprogram.com. That's AMEprogram.com. You can interact with our radio program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com, and you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we cast a vision for the next generation.